Well, here we are, fifth Sunday of Lent. Next week, believe it or not, Palm Sunday. And we'll have some palms to distribute to you, so to be in remembrance of that. And we have been talking about giving it up. That's been our theme for during Lent. And today we're going to talk about giving up our lives, giving up our lives. First, let me tell you a little story. There was three men who went to a funeral. And as they're there in the funeral parlor and people are going up to the casket, you know, and viewing. And you hear people say all the time at funerals, and these three friends were hearing people say about the person who had passed, "What a shame. He was such a good man." And another saying, "He was so generous and kind." Someone saying, "He was so good-looking." And they started to get into a conversation, these three friends, about, "I wonder what people are going to say when we're gone, when they come up to the coffin and view us. What would you want to hear them to say? What would you want to hear them say?" And one of the friends said, "Well, I like to hear them say that, you know, he was a great family man. He loved his wife and he loved his children, and he was just so good to them and helped them so much." And the second gentleman said, "Well, I would like to hear them say, you know, he was a hard worker. And not just at his occupation, but, you know, he gave so much to the community and he did so much good for a lot of people." And they looked down at the third friend and they said, "What about you? What do you want to hear people say?" And he said, "I'd like to hear them say, look, he's moving." And with that, we are going to look at the story today of Lazarus and the raising of Lazarus. And we're going to look at John chapter 11, and we're going to start at verse 38. And we'll read through verse 45. We're going to have it up on the screen in the New Living Translation. So if you want to follow that, you can. If you want to follow from your own Bibles, John 11, 38 to 45. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. That tomb was a cave with the stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded to her. He said, "Didn't I tell you, you would see God's glory if you believe?" And so they rolled the stone aside. And then Jesus looked up to heaven and he said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. So Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. Well, duh. I mean, they've probably been hearing Jesus teach, and they know he's a good teacher, but raising people from the dead, that's a whole other thing. Well, here we are in Lent. We're actually only 2 weeks away from Easter. And this tradition of Lent was created to prepare us through prayer, through meditation, through Bible reading and Bible study, through repentance, and through self-denial to prepare us. Lent was a time for people to reflect on the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus to prepare us as we are waiting to celebrate on Easter Sunday morning. And during Lent, people would give up certain things, especially in the early church. They would fast and they would give up certain things. It was a form of repentance. It was a form of showing their sorrow and their remorse for the sins that they had committed. And it was also a way for them to think more deeply about where they were at in the faith and how they were doing with their relationship with Jesus. But all of this tradition would be worthless if it was just religious exercise. It has to be something real. It can't just be religious things that we do, exercises that we do. It has to connect us to God in some way. It has to help us to be more devoted to Jesus in some way. And so those are the reasons why, we've given you some ideas for fasting during Lent. And people often will give up something for Lent. Now, giving up something for Lent would suggest that when Lent is over, then you go back to allowing yourself to do that thing or have that thing. And what we wanted to do this season in Lent, as we brought these messages to you, was to talk about some things that you not only should give up for Lent, but you should give them up forever. Things like giving up control, to seek God's will rather than calling the shots yourself, or giving up expectations, because no one knows what the future holds. No one knows what the future holds, but we can trust that God will be with us no matter what circumstances we have to face, and that God will work with us and in us and for us, even in the most hopeless places. Then Pastor Nick spoke to us about giving up superiority. God wants us to give up our judgmental attitudes. And last week I talked about giving up enemies. Jesus wants us to follow his example of loving our enemies. And then today we're going to talk about giving up our lives. Jesus said that if we try to keep our lives, we will die. But if we give up our lives for him, we will live. For example, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, Jesus says this: if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. A person tries to hang on to their life, or his life, or her life, in order to satisfy their desires and to satisfy their own goals, apart from what God wants for your desires and goals. And the person who does that, who's trying to hold on to that, actually will lose their life. We all have our strategies of what we've learned, from what we've experienced, what we've seen in our families. We all have our strategies of how to live this life, to make it work, to protect ourselves and to try to, make it as easy for ourselves as we can, or whatever. And these things that we're doing, to try to hang on to life, they're really not working. They work to a degree. They've worked maybe in the past, but they're really not working. They're not really giving us life. But these are the things that we hold on to. And we have to realize, we have to realize that we need Jesus. And that we need him to not only save us, but we must give him the full reign of our lives. Not only can a person lose eternal life that's offered only to those who believe in and accept Christ the Savior, but we could also lose the fullness of the life that we could have right here and now. The abundant life that God has promised and offered to us, we could lose that. Jesus wants us to choose life, real life. Jesus wants us to follow him rather than to lead a life of selfishness, of sin, of self-satisfaction. Jesus wants us to stop trying to control our own destiny and to let him direct us. And that just makes good sense, doesn't it? Jesus is the creator So it would stand to reason that as the Creator, He would know better than we would know what real life is all about. And that, Jesus is not saying you have to hate yourself. I don't want you to hear me saying that Jesus is talking about self-hatred. He's not talking about self-hatred. He's talking about submission. Just submission to Him. He wants what's best for you. He only asks that you lose your self-centered determination and let Him take over. And if you'll do that, you will discover the real purpose of living and the real joy that could be in living. And so we look at this incident with Lazarus today, and the name Lazarus means whom God helps. Lazarus, the name Lazarus means whom God helps. And I want to look at this story about Lazarus. I know it's probably quite familiar to many of you, but there are certain commands that Jesus gives in this story that I believe we all need to heed as well. So you, this morning, you can be a Lazarus. You can be one whom God helps. If you'll listen to these commands and heed them. So let's see what God has for us. Let's see what these commands are for us today. The first command that I see is can be summarized in the word remove. It's in verse 39, the first part of verse 39. Jesus says, "Roll the stone away." Jesus said to them, "Roll the stone away." In other words, remove that stone. That stone was the thing that came between Lazarus and Jesus. It was the thing that kept Jesus from getting close to Lazarus, and it was the thing that kept Lazarus from getting nearer to Jesus. It was the one thing that stood between Lazarus and the Lord. And the Lord wanted it to be removed. So the question for us today is, what is that one thing in your life? What is that thing that is standing between you and Jesus? He wants it removed. He loves you. He wants to be in a closer relationship with you. But there's this thing that comes between, and the Lord wants it removed. Are there things in your life that need to be removed? They need to be removed from their current place so that you can get closer to Jesus. It may be a sin, but it doesn't have to be a bad thing at all, necessarily. It could be a relationship. It could be a job. It could be a hobby. It could be a schedule. And many, 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 many other things. Now, it could be sin, or it could be something that wouldn't normally be sin for anybody else, but for you, it's not a good thing. Because that thing keeps you from Jesus, from getting closer to Him. Now look at this, the second part of verse 39. It says, Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell is going to be terrible." So Jesus tells them, "Roll the stone away." And Martha says, "Maybe you shouldn't do that." And I want to caution you that as you're seeking to get closer to the Lord, there may be people in your life, people who are close to you, quite close to you, who may try to discourage you from getting closer to the Lord. They may have objections. They may have strong opinions. And they may be a temptation for you to remove what's in the way. There are relatives and other people who are close to you. They know your situation. They know that your situation stinks. And they know how long you've been in this situation. Don't let them stop you. Don't let them tempt you to not get closer to the Lord. And so this morning, my challenge to you is remove the stones that may be standing in the way of getting close, as close to Jesus as possible. Now in verse 40, Jesus responds like this. Didn't I tell you? If you believe, you're going to see the glory of God. Remove that stone. I don't know if I should. Let me tell you, if you believe, you are going to see the glory of God. Trust me. Obey me, Jesus says. And you will see the power of God. You will see the love of God. You will see the goodness of God. Trust me. And you will see God do what only He can do. So in verse 41 to verse 42, first of all it says, so they rolled the stone away. Who did? Some of the people who were there removed the stone. Notice that Lazarus needed some help to remove the stone. And you might need some help removing whatever it is that's coming between you and the Lord. You might need the help of others. You might just need you might need prayer from them. You might need advice from them. You might need counsel from them. You might need direction from them. You might need some help in removing these stones. Don't refuse it. Take the help if you need it to get that hindrance out of the way. Let me continue with verse 41. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and He said, Father, thank You for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of these people standing here so that they will believe that You sent me. Jesus is praying. By the way, I know people are praying for you. I want you to also know that Jesus prays for you. And He says, thank you for listening to me. Thank you for hearing me. In prayer, we can be confident that God hears us. We are arrogant if we claim we know what God's going to do. We don't know what. We don't know how. We only know whom we're praying to. And we know that He hears us. Let His will be done. God wants to help you. Just trust Him. And so Jesus commands, remove the stone and you'll see the glory of God. But only if you respond. That's my next point this morning. Verse 43 to the beginning of verse 44. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. Now there's something here that I want to go back and look at for a second because it's easier to just skip over it and just miss it because it doesn't seem very important perhaps. But Jesus is praying out loud. Now He's not praying loudly. Have you ever been with people who like to pray loudly? You know, you go to a restaurant to have dinner and you ask them to pray, oh God! Jesus wasn't praying loudly, but He was praying out loud, loud enough so that people could hear around Him. But it wasn't loud. He was just saying, Father, thank You for hearing me. But then it says, right after that, that He shouted. Literally, He cried out with a loud and mighty shout, Lazarus, come out! And it was an expression of His authority, was expression of His power. Because He alone had the authority and the power to call forth a dead man. To call back a spirit to come and enter a dead man's body and to give him life. Only Jesus could do that. And so He shouts, Lazarus, come out. And notice that He calls him by name. Augustine said, Jesus had to call out Lazarus by name because if He hadn't, all the dead would have come out of their graves. So He called him by name. You know, Jesus calls you by name. He's calling you by name. But it's not just enough to hear Him calling you. You have to obey Jesus. That's what needs to take place. Obedience. Look closely at this verse. Lazarus is commanded to do something. Lazarus is commanded and he obeys. Lazarus is commanded to do what no one had ever been asked to do before. And Lazarus is asked or commanded to do something that really didn't make any sense. So do you find God asking you to obey something that He's never asked you to do before? Or He's asking you to do something and you're saying, it makes no sense. And yet God is saying, I want you to obey me in this. I want you to trust me and obey me in this. You know, I was thinking, what if Lazarus, you know, Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. What if Lazarus from inside the cave said, no, I ain't coming. You know, what if he said, it's comfortable in here. No one judges me in here. I'm afraid if I come out, I'm going to have to be different. I'm going to have to give up some things and not live the way that I was living. And I don't know if I want to do that. What challenges do we face today? You know, Jesus is calling each one of us by name to come out of the grave, to come out of the dark, to be a different people, to come out of this place of death, to get rid of the grave clothes, and to live this life, this abundant life that He promises, that He offers. So what is Jesus commanding you to do today? And whatever that command may be, I encourage you to obey Him and let Him deal with the consequences. Just obey Him. Let Him deal with the consequences. Because if He's telling you to do it, you could trust Him. Jesus wants you to remove whatever separates you from Him, but He'll never force you to do that. You have to choose to obey Him. And when you do, it's going to be like going from death to life. Lazarus obeyed. And Lazarus could say, literally, I was dead, but because of Jesus, I live. And Lazarus was actually fulfilling what Jesus said back in John chapter 5, verse 25. Jesus says, I assure you that the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, and the voice of the Lord, the Son of God, and those who listen will live. And you too can live. You too can go from darkness to light. You too can go from death to life. You too can go from carnal to spiritual. Jesus is calling you, but you have to respond. You have to heed that call. Then you will find, my next point, release. Verse 44. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told him, or told them, unwrap him and let him go. Notice once again the need for the help of others, how we need to disciple one another. He tells them, unwrap him. Wrap this gift. Let him go. Free him from this death wrap. And let him go. You see, a miracle took place, but Lazarus was still quite limited. And many of us have had great experiences with the Lord, but today we are limited by certain things. Things that we're all wrapped up with. And look at Lazarus. He was limited by four areas. First, his walk. It says that his feet were bound. Probably separately. He was limited by for in his work, because his hands were bound. He was limited in his watchfulness, his face. He was limited in his witness, his mouth. So what are you all wrapped up with today? Sin? Intimidation? Other people's opinions? Worry? The cares of life? Allow the Lord to release you today from anything that is limiting you. Jesus says, "Do you love me? Do you trust me? Then surrender everything and come and follow me." Lazarus couldn't free himself. Ever been there, the things in your life, and you just couldn't free yourself from those things? So we're told in John chapter 8, verse 36, "So if the Son sets you free, you're free. You're truly free." Old habits, sinful behaviors, painful memories, they all need to be gently and lovingly removed by the Lord. They're no longer needed. They're like grave clothes holding you back. They need to be unwrapped. They need to be removed that you might be free. Free to reveal. That's my final point. To reveal Christ. Verse 45. "Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen." Others saw what Jesus did for Lazarus in his life, and they put their faith in God. In the next chapter, John chapter 12, verses 9 through 11, it says this: "When all the people had heard that Jesus had arrived, they flocked to see him, but they also came to see Lazarus, the man that Jesus had raised from the dead. And then the leading priests decided to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus." It was because of Lazarus that many believed in Jesus. Lazarus, he didn't even have to say anything at all. He didn't say anything. But there was no denying. There was a new life. It reminds me of that famous quote from St. Francis: "At all times, preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words." Lazarus didn't have to say anything. He just had to show up. People knew he was a new man, new life. And may people around us, may they see a new life in us, and may it cause them to believe in the Lord. You can't do what God wants you to do when you're all bound up in grave clothes. Take them off and be set free. Lazarus was raised for a purpose. Jesus didn't raise Lazarus just for the sake of raising Lazarus. Lazarus became a witness for Christ. You know, there's a saying that goes something like, if Christianity was a crime, which, by the way, in many nations today, it is a crime, you could be put to death for being a Christian in many other countries. But if Christianity was a crime, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would you be guilty or not guilty of being a follower of Jesus? So what experience do you need this morning? Do you need to remove something that's coming between you and Jesus? Do you need to respond to some command that Jesus has been asking you to do? Do you need to be released from something that's limiting you? Or do you need to reveal to others what God has done for you. Let's pray together. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay, let's just bow our heads and just take a moment. Just take a moment to take in some of the things that have been said. Some of the things, not necessarily what I said or what Will said, but what God is saying to you. All along this time, I know that God has been saying some specific things to you. I want you to, in this quiet time, to go back and visit those things in the presence of the Lord. Talk it over with Him. Allow yourself to hear it. Speak to the Lord. Let Him speak to you. Just agree with Him and be obedient to Him. So let me just give you a few moments just to be alone with God. Then we're going to pray again.